This Advent, I'm going to put an accent, not total, on the first reading, which will be most of the time from Isaiah. Isaiah is the book of Advent, if you will. He lived about the 8th century B.C. From his language, he's a very cultivated and eloquent man, probably part of the ruling class in Jerusalem. Most of that we get, and very familiar with the temple and its liturgy, from his language, from one thing. Whereas Jeremiah was also from a little town just outside Jerusalem, is much more, I don't want to say romantic, but it's like that. And he's... But Isaiah is the book of Advent. On that day, what day? See, what is that day? See, that day is the day that the Lord acts. On that day, the branch of the Lord will be luster and glory. And the fruit, I'm sorry, we're reading the wrong one. We have to read that one on the Sunday when we read this one. In days to come, the text actually says, "Ba'acharit hayamim," at the end of days. Well, when do days end? When the Messiah comes. Then these days end. And on a whole other level, new days begin. And so we find this as a prophetic phrase, at the end of days, meaning at the end of this time of preparation. You see, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. And all the nations shall stream toward it. Now the mountain is Christ. And the nations stream toward it. The gospel, this pagan centurion, comes to Christ. This is showing us the rhythm of God's plan this year. This 2011, as we prepare, you see, the mountain of the Lord's house. Not the mountain in Jerusalem, it'll stay right where it is. But all the nations will come. Come, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways and we may walk in his paths. Everybody wants to know, how do I live? In fact, the great question in the human heart is, how do I live? What do I do to be happy? And all moral theology is based on answering that question. It's not a bunch of rules, do's and don'ts. It's how do I arrive at happiness? And so, you see, let him instruct us in his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For from Zion shall go forth Torah. They translated instruction, which is fine, but it's Torah. God is going to teach us all how to live. What a blessing. Not only the teaching, but the reminding. You see? For from Zion shall fall forth Torah and the Dabar, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isn't that where Jesus set out? He died in Jerusalem. And the Dabar. Interesting. The text starts, you see, this is what son of Amos saw concerning. Text literally says, this is the Dabar, this is the word that Isaiah saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is the thing, this is the reality. And it is the word, because nothing happens except by the word of God. And so, he shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many peoples. Wouldn't that be great? Suppose the Lord Christ were to come today and establish himself and say, all you nations, come before me. You, go back to your own nation, stop conquering that one, you, and impose peace, justice, righteousness. Do we ever need a leader like that? The leader is here. He's Christ. And he's already told us how to live. That's the Torah that goes forth from Jerusalem. Huh? He shall judge between the nations and impose terms on many people. They shall put their swords into plowshares. Why? Because they're not going to need their swords anymore. Peace. That, you see, is the promise of the Lord. It first starts with interior peace, but it must spread out. You know who are the children of God? The peacemakers. That's what our Lord told us. And so, one nation shall not raise the sword against another, nor shall they train for war again. You won't need it. There'll be no more aggression, so there'll be no more defense. This could be, if everyone accepted the gospel and lived it, this is what would be. Even in our poor, decrepit, on our way to death state, we could live this. But it means listening to the word of the Lord, Jesus. You see? O house of Jacob, come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's the exhortation. The gospel, as I pointed out, is an illustration. This pagan centurion comes to the Lord for healing. My boy is at home, sick. He's not there even. Huh? Then we have the longest speech of anybody besides Jesus in the whole of the Gospels. Is this one. Lord, I am not worthy to have you enter my roof. That's why we say it at communion. We say those words now in communion, right? Okay. We used to for years too. Now we're doing it again. Because I recognize your authority. And when he heard this, he was amazed. This is amazing that he was amazed. Doesn't he know everything? Yes, and yet he can grow in his human mind, he can grow in knowledge. Joseph taught him how to handle wood. Here, he didn't know the depth of the faith of that centurion until that centurion expressed it and said, as I can do in the army, well, people of me, people below me, you can just do with the word. So then, we have this promise, which is the beginning of Advent. I say to you, many will come from the east and the west and will recline with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. Now, our redditors left off the next line. I'm going to tell you what it is anyway. And the children of the kingdom will be left out. Now the phrase, the king, children of the kingdom, if you look in Matthew, it means the Christian believers. We've got all these advantages, we've got to do something. So that the word of the Lord goes out from the church to the world. Enough of corruption, enough of greed, enough of sensuality, enough of sloth, let's go. We want the whole world to hear the gospel, right? Well, then preach it. That's how they're going to hear. Now we're going to quit because we're going to do a little bit of preaching out there at the abortion clinic in a while.